I'm Milt Radford, filling in today for Jeffrey Riley. And our guest today has some experience with this issue. Eugene, like a lot of communities, has been dealing with a growing homeless problem and how to make sure those areas that spring up are safe, and they have some ideas about that. Our guest today is Eric DeBoer, and he is the executive director of the Community Supported Shelters in Eugene. Eric, welcome to The Exchange this morning.
Thanks for having me, Milt.
Tell me a little bit about the short history of what the homeless problem has been in Eugene just in the last few years.
Well, it's been probably a challenge for a lot longer than the last 2 years, but in the last 2 years, the economy hasn't been so well, so that's put a lot of people in an economic crisis. And I think it was a year ago now, there was a lot of people camping, kind of off the radar of normal society. And within the last year, they cleaned out the wetlands of campers and, did a restoration project there, which brought a lot of the issue more to the community's focus.
Now, in the media, I've seen, and I'm not sure if this is the same area you're talking about, Whoville, and that was either famous or infamous, I guess, depending on your perspective. Was that part of what was cleaned up and removed?
Oh, Whoville? No. That's sort of the, part of the consequence of cleaning up the wetlands. That's what I mean when I say the wetlands were cleaned up, and then all those campers moved to town.
I see.
Not all of them, but a lot of them did. Because in the wetlands, that was their, in a sense, safe place to sleep. They weren't bothered there as much as some other areas. And there's still a lot of people, more than the community knows, camping and just kind of finding places to hide and to sleep.
Just recently, the city of Eugene, as I understand, created a safe spot. Are you part of that effort to do that, or is your organization separate from the Eugene Safe Spot?
No, our organization actually coined the phrase Eugene Safe Spot. So we manage two safe spots, which what the city did is they passed an ordinance to allow for what they call rest stops, and those are temporary places for people to sleep that are safe and legal, and the city created two of those, and we manage the first two, which we call Eugene Safe Spots. That's the name that we gave them.
I see. And tell us a little bit about how they operate.
People come to our office and they apply, and we try to be, we try to get an upfront answer about what these people are struggling with, whether it's drug addiction. We ask them how long they've been homeless, how long they lived in the area, and try to get to know them. And, of course, 30 slots does not meet the entire need, but it's a way to get in touch with what people are struggling with. And so on site at one of these camps, Community Supported Shelters designates 5 on-site managers who live there. Our organization is really immersed into the unhoused population, and so there's a variety of people to basically choose from to take on that task, and we try to choose people who are drug-free, alcohol-free, and have a strong desire to help. And really, we couldn't run these rest stops without those people. They're huge assets to actually creating solutions for the unhoused community, because they themselves being unhoused and being upfront with what people are struggling with all the time, they really know how to work with the population. And so we still oversee the whole thing, but having those people on site to manage the other 10 campers takes a lot of responsibility off of us. We don't have to be there every day. We only have a week meeting. And but on a more logistical side, the camps do have closed hours and open hours, where the gate is open for campers to leave or to come in but it's not open all the time. And campers are not encouraged at all to stay during the day.
Do your on-site managers stay there for a longer period of time than some of the other folks that are passing through?
I would say yeah, because they have gate responsibilities. Because when the gate is unlocked, there's an on-site manager there to make sure that, if somebody else comes that's maybe a visitor, they can kind of regulate that and make sure that they're informed about what it is that the Eugene Safe Spot is and how it works and how they can get a spot. And so they have applications to hand out to people. And they, they are there more than most campers.
If you have a question about the homeless campsites that are being developed in Eugene, you can give us a call at 800-838-3760. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Or you can send us an email, jx@jeffnet.org. Now, one of the things that you're doing is you're building these Conestoga huts. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what we do that too.
I went online and I watched the YouTube video and read some things about it. For folks at home, I'll have you describe it. But if you know what a Conestoga wagon is from the Old West, then you're in the ballpark of what these look like. Tell us a little bit about these structures.
So the Conestoga hut structure is a step up for being in a tent. It's got a hard shell. It's got a lockable door. It's up off the ground. So it's dry and it's safe. Depends on where they're placed. Typically, they're placed at churches. I think primarily they're placed at churches. And we encourage the church to run an electrical line to these so they have access to a small heater for the winter. Just a small oil radiator heater really does well in the space and keeps it dry and warm. But we also have, we have three huts at our first rest stop. They don't have any electricity. But people still like them better than a tent, and they're just doing fine there. I slept in one during the hard cold in December, where it dropped to -10. And when I woke up, it was 7 degrees outside, and inside the hut with just me being in there, it was 32 degrees. So it's still a bit cold, but it kept me alive, and that's basically only. That was only like 4 days out of the winter. It was real cold back then.
And you can construct one of these fairly quickly, fairly cheaply, and often using recycled materials. Isn't that right?
Yeah, we use a lot of recycled materials in it. For instance, the insulation that goes in the front and the back and the floor it's called Dacron, and it's basically pillow stuffing, and we get bales of that from St. Vincent de Paul. That's just one of the materials that we reuse. The material cost for the huts is in between $500 and $600, and we charge another $600 on top of that to pay our overhead cost and our labor cost. So altogether, one hut we charge right now is $1,200. Overall time to build one with two guys working in the shop, it's about 2.5-3 days. But on site, when we get there with the pieces, it only takes an hour and a half to put one up, and we do that part of it with volunteer labor. And we do have some volunteer labor in the shop, too, as part of the construction of the components cost.
We have a caller on the line from Sunny Valley. Wolfgang, you're on the air.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
I think I made the suggestion before, and I don't know why it isn't picked up, because it's feasible, it's proven. And that is cardboard. Corrugated cardboard adds up not only in freezer or refrigerator boxes on the street, on the bridges. It actually, if you put a few layers together and you can impregnate it, you can put some roofing over it or something. It is extremely low tech and it works. It has been proven to work worldwide and it's cheap. It's out there. And I don't know why nobody does it.
Thanks for the comment, Wolfgang. Can you address that, Eric?
Yeah, well, actually, that's pretty interesting that he brings that up, because one of the a structure that we're playing with right now as a what we're calling a rest stop bunker is it's just a 4x8 platform with a little lean-to roof over it, and we're going to use Masonite board, which is not cardboard, but it is a packaging material that we actually have a lot of here that we used to salvage from a nearby laminate factory. And we're planning on using that for those little bunkers. And it is feasible that we could insulate it with cardboard. The step up with a Conestoga hut is it's lockable. We get a lot of the materials donated still, some of the plywood. And it's kind of a psychological thing. You know, when people move from the street into a Conestoga hut, you know, they can't believe that they have a key with a door handle and a door to walk through, you know. And that's a big part, I think, in being solution-based is psychologically assisting people in feeling better about their situation, because it will actually help them. That's really the first step to improving somebody's situation is to help them feel better about themselves and their situation. And cardboard, I don't know, you know, it could be difficult for people. You know, they might, you know, I got these two guys that live out in front of my shop who can a lot. I call them the Mad Canners, because they're all around town. They're two Italian twins, and they're tall. And they, you know, they're embarrassed about the situation. And they don't, you know, we've joked around about it before, but they're afraid that they're going to be known as the Canners for the rest of their life. And it doesn't do so much for their self-esteem.
And a part of this is giving folks some security as well while they try to get back on their feet, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah. It, you know, the Conestoga hut, you can place it somewhere, and we've only had one break-in, and we have 35 huts in the Eugene-Springfield area.
We had a caller from Eugene, just had a question was all. Peggy, she wants to know how she can donate or contribute to this.
I guess the first step for that is to go to our website at communitysupportedshelters.org. That's communitysupportedshelters.org. And then all that information is on our website.
And do you have a number of volunteers who donate labor to help with this?
Yeah. We have a great volunteer team. A lot of them are part of a veterans group, retired veterans group, and they help out with the newsletter. They help out with the pre-assembly of the Conestoga huts, and they're kind of all stars when it comes to putting together a hut. I don't have to be there at all anymore.
And it looks like the carpentry skills don't have to be super advanced, do they?
It depends on what you're doing. A lot of it is taken care of with templates, but a carpenter could put together one of these real quickly. And it is a good structure to learn on. We're planning a network charter school class. A network charter school is the local high school charter school where the high school goes out into the community, and that's where the classroom is for them. And we've been wanting to do a class with them for a long time, and we're going to probably be starting that in this coming fall.
With the recent recession we've had and the fact that Oregon winters, notwithstanding your sub-zero temperatures you had this winter, but generally Oregon winters are a lot friendlier than many places in the United States. Have we seen an influx of homeless people in Oregon, especially along the I-5 corridor?
You know, I don't know if there's a huge influx due to the weather being good here. You know, I would think that it would maybe be more friendly down south where, you know, it doesn't get even as cold and wet as it does here. You know, the winters are pretty challenging here if you're in a tent or you don't have anything. It's amazing how many people find an awning somewhere to sleep under and then they're gone during the day. And, you know, people don't even know that somebody sleeps there. Somebody who we recently brought into one of our camps, I found out was sleeping behind, under a store awning right behind our shop, you know, for several months, and I had no idea.
In the short time that we have left, Eric, what are some of the big challenges that you're facing immediately as you're working on this project?
I think it's somewhat financial. You know, we're a small organization, and we're taking on quite a bit. So we're extremely resourceful, but, you know, when it comes down to it, there's certain things that cost money that, you know, we're in the interim status with our nonprofit status. We have our application in with the IRS. Now we're waiting on the IRS to get that. But people can still donate. We are working with a lawyer in town, David Atkins, who is helping us get our nonprofit status. And we can give receipts right now, but we tell people that it's all retroactively acceptable. And then also just spots, you know, spots to put Conestoga huts, and also safe spots. We have a huge drawer, a huge file of people that are looking for places, and they, you know, they fill up really quickly. And I think what's happening on a larger level is our community is pulling together and helping to create a safety net. So there's a little bit of structure around all of the hidden homelessness that exists in our community.
Our guest today has been Eric DeBoer. He's the executive director of Community Supported Shelters, among other things. They're helping to build these Conestoga wagon-type huts for folks to live in on a temporary basis and place those. The city of Eugene is opening up some safe spots, also with the aid of the Community Supported Shelters, and looking at some of the issues that sometimes affect folks when they try to do those and mitigate those issues, whether it's alcohol or drug abuse or violence, by having some on-site managers. Eric DeBoer, thank you very much for being on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Well, in our next hour, we're going to talk a little bit about loss and grief. Our guest will be Mary Rockefeller Morgan. She is a psychotherapist, and she has written a book about the loss, the death of her twin many years ago, and how that impacted her life. A fascinating story. The book is called When Grief Calls Forth the Healing. We'll have that coming up for you after a break for the news.